Naomi Hinui, and a very good Monday morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM, and keep Auckland beautiful. I hope you all have a lovely Anzac holiday week this week. My guest today is Iris Donoghue, who's been the chair, of a number of trusts, but is currently my chair of Keep Auckland Beautiful, and the chair of the Auckland Litter Prevention Steering Group. Good morning, Iris.
Good morning, Rick.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome. I hope I can contribute.
I think you can. In fact, I think your contributions have been recognized in the past. So let's start with the past. For many years, you were chair of Echo Matters Trust, I believe?
Yes, I spent 5 years as chair of the Echo Matters Environment Trust. I was also one of the founding trustees.
Right. And something that I noticed in your history is, in your biography, is that you actually took a number of organizations through the transition from multiple councils to Super City.
Yes. And it was just... That was a challenge in itself. At the time, it was decided that having small charitable trusts sitting within or without council did not make good economic sense. So with a view to having regional policies and delivery methods, we took a number of items out of the council scenario, including Keep Waitakere Beautiful, which was quite a major to take it from a council organisation to a charitable trust. And from there, we took Weed Free Trust and the Tag Out Trust, and then set them up under the banner of the Eco Matters Environment Trust, which supplied all the administration and made it a much more economical venture for us all to put our charitable dollars to the best use.
Right. So actually, I'm learning something here. So most of these trusts were actually council organizations before the transition.
They were actually set up by the council.
By Waitakere in particular?
Waitakere in particular, yes. Waitakere was a very progressive council in its own way, especially on environmental issues and working with its community.
Right, and how was that switching from a Waitakere focus to a regional focus?
And it was a very difficult process for the Waitakere community. It's a very small community that did have great contact with its councillors, and it was a very difficult situation to come into the regional space and have to deal with councillors who not only didn't know anything about Waitakere, weren't particularly interested in the Waitakere way. So it was a battle, but I think we're beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. And what has that done to the sense of community out in the Waitakere?
I'm really sorry, Rick. I can't hear you terribly clearly.
Apologies. What has that done to... Is that better?
No.
What has that done to the sense of community out in the Waitakere?
Oh, I think it's made us stronger.
Has it?
Yes, definitely. I think we still all think of ourselves, in inverted commas, Westies. We've had a very small, close community for many, many years, and in many ways it has just made us band more strongly together and made the groups more cohesive, working together in their local communities a little more, not as much as we would like, but a little more than they were. And I think it's probably, as I said, made us stronger.
And was that all at once, or did it take a little getting used to? Was there a dip?
There was a dip. There was a serious dip. Within the first 12 months, things did dip quite dramatically, but a group of young people decided they weren't going to let Waitakere Way go, and they set up a festival to celebrate the first year of being part of the Super City called the Waitakere Festival.
Yes.
And brought everybody together under that banner for the first time in 12 months. And that's now into its fourth year and is getting bigger and stronger.
Yes, I attended this year and there was definitely a community feeling about it.
Yes, definitely. It's by the community, for the community, and just to show strength.
That's excellent. And so I would expect that would continue.
I would expect that to continue. Fortunately, it does get funding from the regional council, so they do acknowledge that it exists, but the local boards are the ones who support it more than anybody else.
And the local boards were intended to capture communities of interest.
They were indeed. And that was one of their purposes for being set up.
And there's three local boards that are effectively the majority of the old Waitakere Council?
Yes, there are. There's the Henderson Massey Local Board, the Waitakere Rangers Local Board, and the Faux Local Board, which is the one that's had the most changes. Its boundary has been pushed eastwards to take in Blockhouse Bay, Avondale, and part of Mount Roskill. It actually is the Portage Licensing Trust area that the Faux Board now covers. But unfortunately, we lost areas in the north to the Upper Harbour Board, anything north of Westgate.
Ah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they were all formerly part of Waitakere Council?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, one of your long-term projects is the Tag Out Trust.
It is my baby.
That's your baby, I understand. How did that come about?
It came about through the Keep Waitakere Beautiful, who were tackling all elements of keeping Waitakere beautiful at the time. But it was quickly discovered that weeds and graffiti were beyond a community, a group. So the Tag Out Trust, along with myself and Derek Battersby, went to the Portage Licensing Trust and set up a trial project in Newlyn for 1 year.
And when was this?
And this was in 1996.
Okay.
And, we just trialed it. He did jobs that the contractor wasn't in their contract to do, wasn't part of their contract, but he did extra jobs that just made the place much tidier. And when that project came to an end, we went to the council and put in a bid for the whole of the region, and we won the tender, and the rest is history. We now have 10 staff and 8 trucks on the road from 6 o'clock in the morning.
Now you say the rest is history, and that makes it sound like it was all smooth sailing.
No, not at all. No, well, it was a little difficult even under Waitakere. We had to go back every year for contract renewal. And this time round with Auckland Council, we had the opportunity to compete in a full open tender for our sector in the West. We were very lucky to win the West, and we now have a 3-year contract with the Council with a 1+1 renewal. So there's continuity.
And stability,
yes.
Sure.
Yes, for our staff.
Sure. And exactly what is the purpose of the Tag Out Trust? I mean,
the purpose of the Tag Out Trust is a zero tolerance to graffiti vandalism. Initially, to get it out of people's sight so that it doesn't taint their environment. It makes it feel a safer place to live.
Sure.
The second part of the program is to take photos of the tags and put them in the police database. Therefore, there's enforcement. And then the third prong is education. So it's called the 3 E's, eradication, enforcement, education.
Very good. Very good. And Tag Out Trust, if you're out west, and I'm assuming it's those same three local board areas?
Yes, it is.
How would you, if there's graffiti, and this is for private property only, for public...
Any graffiti.
Any graffiti at all?
Any graffiti at all. Can be reported directly to the trust at 826-4276, or it can be sent to the trust at carl@tagout.org.nz. It can be done through the website, www.tagout.org.nz, or through the council call centre, which is 301-0101.
Right, so any one of those avenues.
Yes.
And people shouldn't be shy about doing it, right?
Absolutely not.
Because they'll get help at the other end as to how it all works.
Yes, if it's on private property and we can assist, and it's one of our base colours, we will paint their fence for them or water blast, whatever is needed. We do not drive past a piece of graffiti because it's not in our contract.
And that's part of the whole behavioural change aspect of this,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, very much so. We want people to be very aware of graffiti, and then that makes them report it more often.
Sure, and but graffiti attracts graffiti in the same way that litter attracts litter, etc.
Absolutely, yes. It's, it degrades an area very, very quickly. If a tagger sees tagging staying on a wall or a fence for more than 24 hours, they generally will tag over it.
Right.
And so it starts.
It's a bit of a competition.
It is. Yes.
Right.
And the higher they can go, the better, which is a bit of a challenge.
Oh, right. So your men and women have to do height work as well?
Yes, we do.
Oh, God.
They can't beat us, that's for sure. Mm. So they do challenge. They write challenges to the staff.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes, especially at this time of the year. They write little messages like, see you in 2015, or I'll be back soon.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, and I suppose there's a whole culture about it where, you know, it's cat and mouse.
Yes.
And I suppose your staff recognize signatures and...
Indeed they do.
Because taggers do use signatures, like calling cards.
They do indeed, yes. And the team probably knows where most of West Auckland taggers actually live. Obviously we get visited from taggers outside of West Auckland and vice versa. And that's where the database comes in so handy, because the police can track them across the city.
Right. And how often do the police get involved in that?
Regularly, like weekly.
Okay.
Yes. Doesn't always come to anything at the other end, unfortunately, but just the process of arresting a tagger and letting them know that they're being watched sometimes slows it down a little bit.
Yes, that was my experience with the schools in the 90s. I was putting in cameras to catch taggers in,
yes,
schools.
Yes.
And once the child was identified and somebody had spoken to them, all the tagging at the school would stop for,
yes,
2 or 3 months.
Yes. And we have a free service for schools and residents if they need help identifying taggers. We do have 3 sets of camera equipment, which we will loan out.
All right.
Mm.
Okay. And so Tag Out is going strong.
Tag Out is going strong.
Any ambitions to go regional?
No, not at all.
You've kind of found your niche?
Well, I think we found our niche. Plus the fact there are other contractors out there, one of them being another trust like ourselves. And we're not in it to make money. We're in it to give the community the best feel for where they live. We're not going to compete with anybody else. We just work under the same regional model now, which is the best outcome.
Right, right. And it is a charitable trust. It's not
It is a charitable trust.
It's not there to make a profit.
We don't make any money out of our operations at all, and our trustees do not take any sort of honoraria.
Right. So that's the Tag Out Trust, and you're still involved. You're still,
yes,
the chair?
No, I'm the managing trustee.
Managing trustee.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a little more hands-on than a chair.
Right. Right. Okay. But you're no longer you were once the chair of Keep Waitakere Beautiful, correct?
I was the founding chair and the chair of Keep Waitakere Beautiful for 20 years. And I felt that 20 years was long enough to give to one organization. So hopefully I've left it in good hands.
Well, you probably have. And of course, you spun off several organizations from that, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
I mean, ultimately, Eco Matters Environment Trust was born of that suite of trusts.
Definitely. Keep Waitakere Beautiful was the first, and it came out of the Rio Summit.
Okay. And Keep Waitakere Beautiful is an affiliate of Keep New Zealand Beautiful?
Yes, Keep Waitakere Beautiful and the Manukau Beautification Trust, Keep Auckland Beautiful, Keep Franklin Beautiful, are all affiliates to Keep New Zealand Beautiful.
Because that's another string to your bow. You are a former CEO, I believe, of Keep New Zealand Beautiful?
Former chair. Did 2 stints as a chair, the last for 5 years, the first in the 90s for 3 years.
So you have quite an extensive experience in governance.
I do.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, including, and I believe I called it Golden Bay School, it's Green Bay School.
Including our local primary school, to which my grandchildren attend. I thought it would be an interesting exercise, A, to have a grandparent on the board, and B, for me personally, to understand how the school functioned under a completely different system than when my children went to school. I did the PTA and all that sort of stuff then, but now it's big business for trust boards to actually run schools. It's a very, very difficult job.
Right. I was going to ask, how did you find it? But obviously it's a challenging job.
It is a very challenging job, and what they don't tell you when you put your name forward for election is the training that you go into after the election and the stuff you have to learn. But it's fascinating. Fascinating.
Right. So you did that for 3 years, but you didn't re-up.
I didn't re-up, no, because one grandchild had already left Green Bay and the other one was only had a year to go. But who knows what high school might bring.
Of course.
It certainly brought a different perspective to the Board of Trustees to have a grandparent there. And not many grandparents actually put their name forward. And I think it would be really good if they could be encouraged to do so. They've got all the experience.
Right.
Mm.
And oftentimes, not always, the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Unlike stressed parents.
Yes.
Yes, I have a good friend, actually, who has a show here on Planet FM, Kick Arts.
Uh-huh.
And he's on the Board of Trustees for his one of his kids' school.
Yes.
And it's a full-time job.
It is.
In many respects.
Yes. Well, I had the finance portfolio, so that was full plus.
Wow.
Mm. Anyway, most enjoyable.
Right. Now, going, I believe, further back in time, Olympic Stadium?
Olympic Park Trust.
Olympic Park Trust.
Yes, we formed a trust to convert a piece of wasteland that sat on the border of Waitakere City Council and Auckland Council for many, many years. Going back originally, it was the local Hydatid dog control strip.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a waste piece of land that nobody wanted and nobody was going to invest in. It had the lovely stream running through it. So the Olympic Park Trust was formed once again with help from Portage and Waitakere Licensing Trust, and it was really formed to help encourage more sports to the park itself and more recreation. So it took 6 years and $7 million, and it has just won a Green Flag Award internationally for one of the best parks in the country.
Well, it's a fabulous facility.
It is.
I actually was there just a few weeks ago, and I was marveling at actually the extent of it and the state of it.
Yes, yes. And within a week of opening, well, before it even opened officially, but within a week of the official opening, it's packed every school holiday, every weekend. So
right.
There was a need for it.
Right, and it's also attracted other facilities. I don't know if the netball courts next door are part of the trust or whether they're just attracted to, you know, to the magnet of Trust Stadium.
I think it's just the sports themselves attract other...
That's what, yeah.
Yes, yes. There's soccer, there's badminton, there's gymnasium, there's the velodrome, there's even the brass band hall tucked away.
Ooh, okay. Mm. Right, so it's a, well, it's clearly a magnet.
It is.
For activity.
It is.
Wonderful. And so when did you retire from that trust?
The park was completed about 2.5 years ago and handed back to what is now Auckland City.
Okay. Now, am I right in guessing that your work with Olympic Park and with Keep Waitakere Beautiful and ultimately Tag Out and Weed Free, etc., was what led to, in 2005 or 6, a Queen's Birthday honour?
Yes, it was a New Year's honour.
A New Year's honour, right.
Yes, and I was made a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit, and that's probably one of the proudest days of my life, to be recognised for working with your community in a field that you particularly enjoy, which was the environment. And I'm not a New Zealander by birth, but I'm a New Zealander by choice. And to be given that award was the crowning glory.
Very nice. And it says on the website is for contributions to the community, but it was particularly for the environmental work, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
Almost a decade later.
Gosh, unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
It is almost a decade later. A couple more weeks.
Right. Mm. And so looking forward, right now, like in 2012, you wrapped up a number of positions.
Yes.
On various trusts. But right now you're on the Keep Auckland Beautiful Trust.
Yes.
And there's another trust that's just formed.
There is another trust just formed, and I was invited to be the chair of this new trust, and it's called the Faux Coastal Walkway Environment Trust. And it's a project set up with Auckland Council and Parks as a joint venture, and the new trust will work very closely at putting a walkway or a boardwalk from Olympic Park 13 kilometres up to the Te Aritu Peninsula. Ambitious project, but very exciting.
That is exciting. 13 kilometres.
Yes.
Now, a wee bit of that would already be done in walkways and such along the coast, correct?
Yes, certainly. In some of the parks already there is a 3 metre wide concrete cycling walkway, and the first part of the project is to actually join up from Olympic Park to Archibald Park in Kelston.
Right. So how long? I mean, just obviously you can't commit to an exact date. This is a project of a decade, isn't it?
We would like to think we could do it in 6 years.
Okay.
Yep. That's the timeline that we've been given at this stage. But if it takes 10 years, then it will get completed.
Right. And so, but you also have to wrangle two local boards, I'm guessing?
We have to wrangle the Faux local board, who haven't proven to be too much of a wrangle currently. They're very committed to what is called the Greenways project, and it is to make travel and walking through the board area easier for everyone. The next one is the Henderson Massey local board, and they don't have any funding for this current year, but we certainly will be presenting for 2015-2016.
Right, we've just started, so there's plenty of time for that.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
And once they see the beginning, I'm sure everybody will want to be involved.
Will this be for both cycling and walking?
This will be for mobility, cycling, walking, walking your dogs, jogging, fishing. There'll be art installations and seating.
Okay, so it's not just for cyclists, it's
nope.
Not just for joggers.
Nope.
But you say mobility, does that mean if I were in a wheelchair, I would be able to do most or all of the walkway?
We had initially hoped all of the walkway, but there may be a couple of areas where a person with mobility issues might just have to go off the walkway and into a side street and back on the walkway, a couple of real steep areas.
Okay, but for the most part, it's going to be accessible.
Absolutely.
Right, so even if I'm in my mobility scooter, because I happen to be 75,
yes.
My motorized scooter is what I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Not that I have one.
Yet.
That's really exciting.
It is very, very exciting.
Okay.
That would be very nice, you know, in 5 years' time for someone else to take over and continue right down the harbour, ultimately. Wouldn't that be exciting?
It would be.
Link up with the viaduct in some way.
Mm-hmm. And possibly link up with the National Cycle Trail.
Yes.
Perchance.
Yes. Certainly that's one of, pardon me, the funders that we may approach.
Right, and of
because
course...
Because it will make it easier for children to cycle to school in the area.
Right.
There are a number of schools that back onto the estuary. It's a very neglected part of Auckland, unfortunately, like a lot of the waterways are.
Right, and so you don't consider it neglected anymore. You look at it as an opportunity.
Absolutely. We're not turning our back on the foe.
There you go.
Mm.
That sounded like fighting words.
I fought a few battles in my time, Rick.
There you go. And so are there any other trusts or community organizations you're involved with?
Currently, Mm-hmm. No, I did officially retire when I turned 70, but obviously that's really not my way of doing things. I quite like to be involved in new ventures and a bit of a challenge.
So your idea of retirement is being the managing trustee of Tag Out Trust.
Yes.
The managing trustee of Keep Auckland Beautiful.
The chair of Keep Auckland.
The chair.
Yes.
And potentially, or if not already elected, the chair of the Fro Walkway.
Yes.
That's retirement.
That's retirement.
I don't know why I find that funny, but I do.
Well, I think your community is part of your retirement. If you retire and pull yourself away from people, I don't think that does your mental health any good.
True. And well, you certainly got the energy. You must do.
We shall see. Well, I've had quite a varied life, I have to agree. But when my children got into their teens, I decided, I was fortunate I had a husband working full-time and I only worked part-time. I decided I'd spend one day a week doing voluntary work. And I've done it at least like that ever since. My first voluntary work was with the Mangaree Hospital for intellectually handicapped children. And I did that for 6 years, one day a week. And that really changes who you are when you work with young people in those situations.
And that's where it all started. And you still haven't stopped?
No, not yet.
No, good on you. Good on you. Well, I hope you don't fully retire soon.
I hope I don't fully retire soon. Mm. That'll have me in a cardboard box.
Well, I share that sentiment. I don't ever want to retire. I don't ever want to stop working.
No, but it's not work when you enjoy it.
True.
Yeah.
True. Wow, well, that's incredible. It's an incredible story. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with us.
You're very welcome. I hope it's of interest to people. We need our volunteers. We need our community. We need to all do it together.
Right, but I think what you do is set an example that says it's doable.
It is doable.
And you started when the kids were teens.
Yes.
Wow.
And now they're in their late 40s.
There you go.
Teaching my grandchildren all about the environment.
Excellent. Well, Iris, thank you so much for coming on to Keep Auckland Beautiful this morning.
You're very welcome.
And that was Iris Donahue, chair of Keep Auckland Beautiful. Thanks for listening today. We're just going to go out with some local Auckland bands from the past. Listening. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org